This is a new episode of the podcast AI Unraveled, created and produced by Etienne Newman, a senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada.
And hey, if you're enjoying these deep dives, please do take a second to like and subscribe on Apple. It really helps us out.
It really does. So today we're getting into something pretty significant. The latest U.S. government restrictions on exporting advanced AI chips to China.
Yeah, and the ripple effects, right?
That's right.
Especially for NVIDIA, but also, you know, the wider AI world. We've been looking at news articles covering the restrictions themselves, the impact on, like, chip makers, venture capital, all that stuff.
Okay, let's try and unpack this then. It definitely feels like a major development. Our sort of mission here is to figure out, well, why now? What's so special about NVIDIA's chips? And maybe most importantly, how does all this high-level tech and politics stuff potentially affect, you know, the AI you use every day?
Right. So the core issue, these new U.S. government rules, they're targeting the export of really sophisticated AI chips specifically to China.
And NVIDIA's new H20 chips are caught up in this.
Exactly. They just launched them and bam, now they need export licenses, which effectively just cuts off China as a market for those specific chips. It's a huge market for them.
Huge is right. I saw figures suggesting what a potential $5.5 billion revenue hit for NVIDIA. Their stock dropped like 6% too.
Yeah, it's a massive number. And it's not just them. Their competitor, AMD, is also looking at potentially losing close to $1 billion from the same restrictions.
Wow. Okay, so that really underlines how important that market was, which leads straight to the question, what is it about these NVIDIA chips? What's their secret sauce that makes this such a big deal?
It's a great question, and the answer actually starts, kind of surprisingly, with video games. Way back late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, like Xbox and PlayStation?
Exactly, Xbox, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Switch, gaming PCs, NVIDIA's graphics processing units, GPUs, were the powerhouses making those 3D graphics look so amazing.
So the tech for making games look cool is now central to AI.
Pretty much. And the key difference is how GPUs work compared to, say, a standard CPU, the central processing unit in your computer.
Okay.
A CPU is like a generalist, good at lots of tasks, one after another. A GPU, though, is built for parallel processing. It does tons of complex math calculations all at the same time. For games, that meant turning 3D models into graphics super fast.
Right, rendering all those polygons and textures simultaneously.
Precisely. So for years, that was NVIDIA's bread and butter,
yeah,
making games look real. But then, people found another use for all that parallel processing power.
Don't tell me. Crypto.
You got it. Cryptocurrency mining, particularly Bitcoin in the early days. Generating crypto involves solving these incredibly complex math problems.
Which GPUs were perfect for, right?
Exactly. Their parallel processing power made them ideal for mining new coins. Now, some people see it as, you know, maybe not the best use of energy.
Yeah, a bit wasteful, maybe.
Perhaps. But the effect was undeniable. It massively boosted the production and, importantly, the availability of powerful GPUs. Suddenly, they were everywhere.
Okay, so more GPUs out in the wild.
And that widespread availability, almost by accident, set the stage for their third and arguably most important use case.
Yeah.
Training AI models.
Right, the AI connection. How does that jump happen from game graphics and crypto mining to teaching AI?
Well, think about how AI learns. It chews through enormous amounts of data, right? And this data is broken down into tokens. Think of them as little pieces of information like words or parts of words.
Okay, tokens. Got it.
Now, for the AI to understand anything, it needs to figure out how all these tokens relate to each other. This involves some seriously complex math linear algebra, specifically creating connections or vectors, linking every single token to every other token in the data set.
Whoa, okay. That sounds computationally intense.
It is, like massively so.
Mm.
Imagine trying to draw a line between every single star you can see in the night sky and then every star you can't see, connecting each one to every other one. Trillions upon trillions of connections.
That's a lot of lines.
Exactly. And performing those calculations, building that incredibly complex web of relationships for giant AI data sets, that takes huge amounts of parallel computing power. And what's perfectly designed for that kind of complex, multidimensional math done simultaneously?
The GPU, because of the video games.
Bingo. The hardware designed to render complex 3D scenes turned out to be the perfect engine for the massive calculations needed to train AI. So yeah, kind of ironic, isn't it? A video game company ends up being a leader in the AI revolution.
Absolutely wild. Okay, so that explains why NVIDIA is so central. Which brings us back to the government stepping in. Why the restrictions now?
The main driver here is national security. The U.S. government is concerned that advanced AI hardware could be used by, well, geopolitical adversaries. China is the specific focus here for military purposes or other strategic gains.
Right, trying to keep cutting-edge tech out of certain hands. I remember the Biden administration put some initial restrictions in place back in 2023.
Correct. And NVIDIA, being clever, actually developed a slightly less powerful chip, the H20, specifically designed to meet those earlier rules so they could still sell something to China.
They tried to thread the needle.
They did. But then, more recently, the Trump administration came in and significantly tightened those restrictions. So now, even those less powerful H20 chips are effectively banned from sale to China.
So the goalposts moved. Must be frustrating for NVIDIA, but it sounds like there's actually be bipartisan agreement on this in Washington, limiting AI chip exports to China.
That's a really important point. Yeah, despite all the political division on this specific issue, preventing top-tier American AI tech from going to China, there seems to be a pretty broad consensus.
Okay. Now, was there a specific trigger for this latest round of tightening? I read something about an AI model called DeepSeek.
Ah, yes, DeepSeek. That's a really crucial piece of the puzzle here. It's an open source AI model.
Open source meaning the code is freely available.
Exactly. Anyone can use it, modify it. It was developed by a Chinese hedge fund, interestingly. And the thing is, DeepSeek performed remarkably well, like sometimes even better than expensive proprietary models from Western companies.
Wow. Okay. And the connection to the restrictions?
The critical part is how it was trained. DeepSeek was trained using NVIDIA H800 and, importantly, those H20 chips, the compliant ones that had been exported to China before these newest, toughest rules came into effect.
Ah, I see. So DeepSeek basically proved that even the slightly dialed back H20 chips were powerful enough to help China make significant AI progress.
Precisely. It was kind of a wake-up call, showing that even with the initial controls, the U.S. might still be helping China catch up in the AI race. That realization almost certainly fueled the decision to clamp down harder to try and, you know, maintain the U.S. lead.
Makes sense. Still, it sounds like the strength of this move, maybe the timing, caught some in the tech industry off guard.
Yeah, that seems fair. There was maybe a bit of surprise, especially considering some other recent actions like the tariffs hitting Amazon or the FTC going after Meta. Some might have expected a different approach.
Are there potential downsides to these export bans, like unintended consequences?
Well, one theoretical risk long term is that American chip companies might think about moving production outside the U.S. to get around the rules. But honestly, given the current push for domestic manufacturing and the geopolitical climate, that seems pretty unlikely in the short term.
Okay, so this is all big news for companies, for governments, but let's bring it back home. How does this affect me, the listener, the person using AI every day?
Right, the crucial question. Fundamentally, NVIDIA's chips are the engines in those huge data centers run by companies like Google, Microsoft, OpenAI, Meta.
The places where AI models are trained and run.
Exactly. The AI you interact with, search, assistants, creative tools, whatever's running on hardware, heavily reliant on chips like NVIDIA's.
So if NVIDIA faces headwinds, what does that mean downstream for us users?
Well, there are a few potential impacts. It could affect the cost of training the next generation of AI models. If the best hardware is harder to get or more expensive, maybe training costs go up.
Okay.
It could also affect the speed at which new, better models get released, and which companies can even afford to build them. Limiting China's access might slow their progress, sure, but it could also impact global competition, maybe the overall pace of innovation.
So things might slow down a bit or get pricier.
Potentially. It could influence how quickly companies like OpenAI or Google can scale up their AI services. It impacts the whole pace of AI becoming mainstream. And yeah, ultimately, maybe that translates to higher subscription costs or changes in how much it costs to use AI services based on tokens.
So the next big AI breakthrough might take longer or cost more when it arrives.
It's definitely possible.
Okay.
But it's also important, as our sources note, to keep perspective. NVIDIA is still an incredibly valuable, innovative company. This is probably, you know, a bump in the road, a slight detour, not the end of the story for them.
And there's the security argument, too.
Right. If you accept the premise that limiting China's access to the most advanced AI is important for global security, then maybe this slowdown or cost increase is seen as a worthwhile trade-off.
Now, you mentioned earlier we should maybe talk a bit about Itin's Jamgetek app, especially for folks looking to navigate this complex tech landscape.
Oh, absolutely. Good point. If listeners are trying to get ahead or just understand these fields better, cloud, cybersecurity, finance, even healthcare and business, That app is genuinely useful.
Yeah, it's AI-powered and helps you study for and pass like over 50 different professional certifications. Really practical stuff in this environment.
Definitely worth checking out. The links are in the show notes, folks. It can really help you master these in-demand skills.
Okay, so back to the bigger picture. These chip restrictions, they aren't happening in a vacuum, right? What's the wider context?
No, definitely not. It's part of a much larger story about trade tensions.
Yeah.
You had the initial global tariffs under President Trump. Some got paused. But the high tariffs, specifically on China, are still very much active.
And there's talk of even more tariffs, specifically on semiconductors.
Yeah, that's being discussed. And all this uncertainty, it's starting to ripple into venture capital. While AI investment is still hot, the reports we looked at suggest this tariff talk, the supply chain worries. It could put a dent, as they said, in VC appetite if chips get more expensive or harder to source reliably.
So the money flowing into AI startups could actually be affected by these geopolitical moves.
That's the worry. I mean, training and running these big AI models is already incredibly expensive. A lot of it is subsidized by VC cash right now.
You see companies adding pricier subscription tiers too.
Exactly. Companies like OpenAI, Anthropic, they're trying to cover costs. Meanwhile, you have cheaper open source models like DeepSeek popping up. So these economic headwinds, tariffs, market volatility could make it harder for AI startups to hit those big growth targets investors expect. It affects the whole exit environment for VCs.
Wow. It really is all connected. So, tangled web. What's NVIDIA doing in response to all this pressure? Are they just taking it?
Oh, not at all. They've actually made a pretty huge announcement recently. They're planning to start manufacturing AI supercomputers in the U.S. for the first time ever.
Really? Actual supercomputer manufacturing stateside?
Yep. They're setting up significant manufacturing space. TSMC's plant in Arizona is already starting on their next-gen Blackwell chips. And NVIDIA is partnering with Foxconn and Wistron for facilities in Texas, Houston, and Dallas, I think aiming for mass production in the next year or so.
That's a massive commitment to domestic production.
Huge. They're talking about producing something like $500 billion worth of these AI supercomputers in the U.S. over the next 4 years.
$500 billion worth.
That's the projection. Yeah. And creating potentially hundreds of thousands of jobs. It's clearly a strategic move tied directly to these U.S.-China tech tensions and the threat of more semiconductor tariffs.
Seems like a smart play to hedge their bets, but are there challenges? It can't be simple.
No, definitely not. There are hurdles. For one, even if the main chip is made in Arizona, it might still need to go to Taiwan for what's called advanced packaging, a really critical specialized step.
Ah, so still some reliance on overseas processes.
Potentially. Mm. And the other big one is workforce. The U.S. just doesn't have the same large pool of highly skilled chip manufacturing workers that places like Taiwan do.
Yeah.
So staffing these plants could be a challenge.
And maybe cost. Will U.S.-made chips be more expensive?
That's a question, too. Plus, just the scale. Even producing $500 billion worth over 4 years, is that enough to meet the absolutely massive global demand? Lots of questions still.
So a major step, but still some unknowns and potential bumps ahead for that plan.
Exactly. It's a big shift, but the execution will be key.
Well, this has been really fascinating, diving deep into this whole AI chip export situation. It's clear the U.S. government tightening the screws on China is having a really big impact, especially on NVIDIA. And it just highlights how incredibly central these GPUs are to, well, everything AI.
Yeah, and I think the key takeaway for listeners is that this stuff, geopolitics, tech policy, it isn't abstract. It has real, tangible effects on how quickly AI develops, how accessible it is, the tools you might use tomorrow. It's all woven together.
Absolutely. And again, if you're trying to get a better handle on the technologies driving all this, like cloud, AI, cybersecurity, do check out Etienne's AI-powered Gemga Tech app. It's designed to help you master those crucial skills and get certified. Links are right there in the show notes.
Definitely a useful resource in these times. So maybe a final thought to leave people with. Given how fast AI is moving and these growing geopolitical pressures we've talked about, what other completely unexpected intersections, technology, economics, politics, might pop up and really shape where AI goes in the next few years? It feels like anything could happen.
That's a great question to ponder. Definitely a space we'll keep watching closely.